Sensors of the Genome. By Nelson C. Lau and David P. Bartel. Observed on a microscope slide, a living cell appears serene. But underneath its tranquil facade, it buzzes with biochemical chatter. The DNA genome inside every cell of a plant or animal contains many thousands of genes. Left to its own devices, the transcription machinery of the cell would express every gene in the genome at once, unwinding the DNA double helix, transcribing each gene into single-stranded messenger RNA, and, finally, translating RNA messages into their protein forms. No cell could function amid the resulting cacophony. So cells muzzle most genes, allowing an appropriate subset to be heard. In most cases, a gene's DNA code is transcribed into messenger RNA only if the particular protein assemblage has docked onto a special regulatory region in the gene. Some genes, however, are so subversive that they should never be given freedom of expression. If the genes from mobile genetic elements were to successfully broadcast their RNA messages, they could jump from spot to spot on the DNA, causing cancer or other diseases. Similarly, viruses, if allowed to express their messages unchecked, will hijack the cell's protein production facilities to crank out viral proteins. Cells have ways of fighting back. For example, biologists long ago identified a system, the interferon response, that human cells deploy when viral genes enter a cell. This response can shut off almost all gene expression, analogous to stopping the presses. And just within the past several years, scientists have discovered a more precise, and for the purposes of research and medicine more powerful security apparatus built into nearly all plant and animal cells, called RNA interference. Or RNAi, the system acts like a sensor. When a threatening gene is expressed, the RNAi machinery silences it by intercepting and destroying only the offender's messenger RNA, without disturbing the messages of other genes. As biologists probe the modus operandi of this cellular sensor, and the stimuli that spring into action, their fascination and excitement are growing. In principle, scientists might be able to invent ways to direct RNA interference to stifle genes involved in cancer, viral infection, or other diseases. If so, the technology could form a basis for a new class of medicines. Meanwhile, researchers working with plants, worms, flies, and other experimental organisms have already learned how to co-opt RNAi to suppress nearly any gene they want to study, allowing them to begin to deduce the gene's purpose. As a research tool, RNAi has been an immediate success, allowing hundreds of laboratories to tackle questions that were far beyond their reach just a few years ago. Purple petunias offered the first clues to the existence of gene sensors in plants. When X-replacement genes were inserted into normal plants left, the flowers that emerged ended up with areas that strangely lack color center and right. Whereas most research groups are using RNA interference as a means to an end, some are investigating exactly how the phenomenon works. Other labs, including our own, are uncovering roles for the RNAi machinery in the normal growth and development of plants, fungi, and animal humans among them. A strange silence. The first hints of the RNAi phenomenon surfaced 13 years ago. Richard A. Jorgensen, now at the University of Arizona, and, independently, Joseph Mall of the Free University of Amsterdam inserted into purple-flowered petunias additional copies of their native pigment gene. They were expecting the engineered plants to grow flowers that were even more vibrantly violet. But instead they obtained blooms having patches of white. Jorgensen and Mall concluded that the extra copies were somehow triggering censorship of the purple pigment genes, including those natural to the petunias, resulting in variegated or even albino-like flowers. This dual censorship of an inserted gene and its native counterpart, called co-suppression, was later seen in fungi, fruit flies, and other organisms. Clues to the mystery of how genes were being silenced came a few years later from William G. Dorupty's lab at Oregon State University. Dorupty and his colleagues started with tobacco plants that had been engineered to contain within their DNA several copies of the CP coat protein gene from tobacco H virus. When these plants were exposed to the virus, some of the plants proved immune to infection. Dorothy proposed that this immunity arose through co-suppression. The plants apparently reacted to the initial expression of their foreign CP genes by shutting down this expression and subsequently also blocking expression of the CP gene of the invading virus, which needed the coat protein to produce an infection. Dorothy's lab went on to show that the immunity did not require synthesis of the coat protein by the plants. Something about the RNA transcribed from the CP gene accounted for the plant's resistance to infection. The group also showed that not only could plants shut off specific genes in viruses, viruses could trigger the silencing of selected genes. Some of Dorothy's plants did not suppress their CP genes on their own and became infected by the virus, which replicated happily in the plant cells. When the researchers later measured the RNA being produced from the CP genes of the affected plants, they saw that these messages had nearly vanished. Infection had led to the CP genes inactivation. Meanwhile, biologists experimenting with the nematode Canarhabditis elegans, a tiny, transparent worm, were puzzling over their attempts to use antisense RNA to inactivate the genes they were studying. Antisense RNA is designed to pair up with a particular messenger RNA sequence in the same way that two complementary strands of DNA mesh to form a double helix. Each strand in DNA or RNA is a chain of nucleotides, genetic building blocks represented by the letters A, C, G, and either U in RNA or T in DNA. C nucleotides link up with GS, and AS pair with US or TS. A strand of antisense RNA binds to a complementary messenger RNA strand to form a double-stranded structure that cannot be translated into a useful protein. Over the years, antisense experiments in various organisms have had only spotty success. In worms, injecting antisense RNA seemed to work. To everyone's bewilderment, however, since RNA also blocked gene expression. Since RNA has the same sequence as the target messenger RNA and is therefore unable to lock up the messenger RNA within a double helix, the stage was now set for the Eureka experiment, performed 5 years ago in the labs of Andrew Z. Fire of the Carnegie Institution of Washington and Craig C. Mello of the University of Massachusetts Medical School. Fire and Mello guessed that the previous preparations of antisense and sense RNAs that were being injected into worms were not totally pure. Both mixtures probably contained trace amounts of double-stranded RNA. They suspected that the double-stranded RNA was alerting the sensors. To test their idea, Fire, Mello, and their colleagues inoculated nematodes with either single or double-stranded RNAs that corresponded to the gene UNC22, which is important for muscle function. Relatively large amounts of single-stranded UNC22 RNA, whether sense or antisense, had little effect on the nematodes. But surprisingly few molecules of double-stranded UNC22 RNA caused the worms, and even the worms' offspring, to twitch uncontrollably, an unmistakable sign that something had started interfering with UNC22 gene expression. Fire and Mello observed the same amazingly potent silencing effect on nearly every gene they targeted, from muscle genes to fertility and viability genes. They dubbed the phenomenon RNA interference, to convey the key role of double-stranded RNA in initiating censorship of the corresponding gene. Investigators studying plants and fungi were also closing in on double-stranded RNA as the trigger for silencing. They showed that RNA strands that could fold back on themselves to form long stretches of double-stranded RNA were potent inducers of silencing. And other analyses revealed that a gene that enables cells to convert single-stranded RNA into double-stranded RNA was needed for co-suppression. These findings suggested that Jorgensen and Marl's petunias recognize the extra pigment genes as unusual through a mechanism that is still mysterious and converted their messenger RNAs into double-stranded RNA, which then triggered the silencing of both the extra and native genes. The concept of a double-stranded RNA trigger also explains why viral infection muzzled the CP genes in Dorothy's plants. The tobacco etch virus had created double-stranded RNA of its entire viral genome, as it reproduced, as happens with many viruses. The plant cells responded by cutting off RNA messages of all genes associated with the virus, including the CP genes incorporated into the plant DNA. Biologists were stunned that such a powerful and ubiquitous system for regulating gene expression had escaped their notice for so long. Now that the shroud had been lifted on the phenomenon, scientists were anxious to analyze its mechanism of action and put it to gainful employment. Reddy mentioned Thomas Tushla of the Rockefeller University, Philip D. Zamor of the University of Massachusetts Medical School, Gregory Hannon of Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory in New York State, and many others have added to our current understanding of the RNA interference mechanism. RNA appears to work like this: inside a cell, double-stranded RNA encounters an enzyme dubbed dicer. Using the chemical process of hydrolysis, dicer cleaves the long RNA in two pieces, known as short or small interfering RNAs, or siRNAs. Each siRNA is about 22 nucleotides long. Dicer cuts through both strands of the long double-stranded RNA at slightly staggered positions so that each resulting siRNA has two overhanging nucleotides on one strand. That either Nelson C. Lau and David P. Bartel have been studying microRNAs slicing and dicing genetic messages and other small RNAs that regulate the expression of genes. Lau's RNA interference was soon observed in algae, flatworms completing a doctoral degree at the Whitehead Institute, and the ant fruit flies diverse branches of the evolutionary tree. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Bartel started his research demonstrating RNAi within typical cells of humans and other when a human cell is infected by viruses that make Long Dao the authors and a co-founder of Omnilam Pharmaceuticals, which is developing BLE-stranded RNAs, it can slam into lockdown mode, an enzyme RNA-based therapeutics. Lau and Bartel were among the recipients known as PKR blocks, translation of all messenger RNAs, both of the 2002 AAAS Newcomb Cleveland Prize. www.siam.com Scientific American 37 Copyright 2003 Scientific American, Inc. Group at the Whitehead Institute, in 1994, after earning a PhD at mammals was considerably trickier, however. Harvard University. Bartel is also an associate professor at MIT.